It may be the next big thing in technology.
The question was, do you compare this to like the invention of something as significant as the light bulb? And he said, no, I think it's as significant as electricity.
Understanding artificial intelligence. Today, in the Upper Cumberland, can a computer mimic the competencies of the human mind? There's new technology that says the answer is closer than ever to being yes. Artificial intelligence, a $200 billion industry in the United States last year, expected to go to $1.8 trillion by 2030. It has a lot of ramifications in a lot of different areas of our lives. And some of them aren't positive. Mac Lunn is Associate Director of iCube at Tennessee Tech, and he's made a study of artificial intelligence.
AI is new. When I was in school for computer science, they referred to AI as anything that computers couldn't yet do. And I think that's transitioned now to a reality. AI was nowhere 2 years ago, and now it's, you know, there's entire industries built around it. But anything that's logical and something that a computer can make sense of and then create and generate, I'd classify that as AI. And something where a computer can learn from user input and then make different decisions without human input controlling it, that's an intelligent, wouldn't say quite thinking, but that's a learning mechanism that a computer is capable of doing.
So how is it different from just what computers have been doing now for, what, 50 years? But certainly since the 80s. How's it different?
So I was born in the 80s. And so when I think back to computers, it blows my mind, like in the early days of television when people had animations. And to this day, I look at that and I think, like, man, like that was way more advanced than I thought it could be. But it was also really labor intensive. People that were good at that would spend, you know, hours on the smallest little detail. Now I can say to an AI bot, I can go to a video generator and I can say, render a Pegasus flying over the moon, photorealistic, or in the style of Salvador Dali at night over Mount Everest. And, you know, within 30 minutes, it's going to have something that's pretty accurate with that. It's AI's version of that. So it's not going to be as pristine as if an artist that specializes in that makes that. But I am not an artist that specializes in that. So for me, it gets rid of that preclusion of the skill gap. Like something I can't do, now I can do a relatively decent job, at least to convey that message to somebody that is good at it. Even when I was in school, everything that I was programming, my first several years were, if I wanted something to appear a certain way, I typed it in exactly that way, and there it sat. And then you start to get a little bit more user input based, where if somebody gives you information, then you can use that information in what it displays. And then you can use conditional logic. That's like the next step is, if somebody selects this, make this happen. And, you know, video games follow that logic and that sort of thing too. But it's all very structured. It's like call and response. Up until AI, they call it generative AI. That's the big thing. You could say, you can give it a little prompt and it'll create something brand new for you that's never existed. It's not like it's plagiarizing anybody. It's just a computer's logical approach of giving you something that sounds good.
So what has happened from a hardware or software or maybe combined both that has allowed us to take this jump?
It's sort of mysterious in that way. I mean, computers, I can't remember what the term is, but they say that, you know, every so often computers double and double and double. And it's getting faster and faster. So
it's the whole thing that what's in your phone has more power than the computers that were used to launch us to the moon.
Right. Now we're launching birds into pigs.
Yeah.
So exactly. And so my phone is capable of accessing AI over the internet. And, you know, there's some server out in Cupertino, California that must just be amazing. There is sort of like a magical feel to it. Even, you know, I've looked up like what is the magic sauce, and there's no like real clear cut explanation. I know there are places right around the time where Google and ChatGPT were entering into the AI sphere. They were saying that they had proof that organic computing was on the way, and that's kind of gone silent for the last for several months now. But I mean, that's a possibility. I'm not really sure. That's an honest answer. Is they must have really good computers and really good code that's able to. The vastness of the internet too. Now you have, you know, nearly 30 years of data, just everybody putting their innermost thoughts and daily lives and research papers, everything's on the internet. So the database that these computers have to pull from is immense. It's like the whole human experience is online.
So in other words, they can pull, you know, if you go back to your example of Pegasus, they can pull from various sources and pull that into memory and generate from it.
Yes, yes. And I think like a lot of the big ones, like I was using Jasper for a lot of stuff years ago, and they claimed that they only had access to the internet up until 2 years prior. Like they downloaded like a glimpse of the internet to pull from. But I know that Bard, Google's AI, is integrated with Google searching now. So I think it's in the experiments tab, but you can opt in and say, show me when I search for something, give me an AI interpretation of it. So it literally is like in response to what you're searching, learning as we go and discovering with you. So pretty cool stuff.
Matt Glunn is our guest. He's the Associate Director of iCube, Tennessee Tech. Artificial intelligence. You hear the term. What does it mean? What kind of world are we entering in? Matt Glunn is our guest from Tennessee Tech. And this will be a generational thing, but there are a lot of us who have seen over our lifetime, oh, this is all the rage. This is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And sometimes it happens, as in the internet. That turned out to be kind of all of that. Sometimes it doesn't. Do you have a sense that artificial intelligence is a changing game?
I got to be honest with you, I do. And I'm very skeptical, like you said, of things like this. But I heard there's an interview I was watching with some of the developers for AI, and the question was, do you compare this to like the invention of something as significant as the light bulb? And he said, no, I think it's as significant as electricity. He says it's even bigger. The comparison of the internet, I think, is a pretty fair one. But also, I mean, in all of human existence, the only creature that we've known that has access to human language and like understanding of, you know, thoughts is us. And now all of a sudden you have this entity, you know, this thing that I wouldn't say it fully understands, but it mimics the understanding of our words. Like it can understand your questions and respond back to you with its own interpretation of it. You know, it's generative, so it can create new thoughts, new images, new video based on just what you've given it. And it's sort of like, I can't remember the exact number, but do you know what a flop is? Like it's like a rating of speed for a computer. So my MacBook has something like 15,000 flops, which is a floating point operation per second. So it's 123.456 times 789 point. So, and if you were to give me a test on that of 100 questions and I was to do it by hand, you know, it would take me hours, you know, but a computer, my laptop, my phone now with the new processor in my iPhone, by the time the light travels from the phone to pull up that test to my eye, the phone would have completed the test like 10,000 times. Like it's just significantly more apt for that sort of process. So, so with that in mind, AI is able to do that with language. And so you can write an entire research paper, you know, and probably fact check it, because there's this thing called hallucinations in AI. Where it'll even cite sources that you look at it and you're like, oh man, that's pretty good, and it's just gibberish. It's just, you know, it's mimicry of what a scientist would write or what a paper writer would write.
Which brings us into the next part of this, and that is the concerns, the challenges of this technology and harnessing something that we really don't completely understand. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, as someone who does this every day, what are the things that make you nervous about artificial intelligence?
Quite a lot. I went to a, just yesterday, so this is really good timing. I went to the Tennessee Tech, they had a talk on AI and how it's going to influence the classroom. And just from the perspective of a classroom, the significance are pretty astounding because, it can almost discourage learning when you're able to say, you know, write me a paper and then be done. Like, you don't go through that process. And it's pretty hard to distinguish what's AI and what's not. There are services like Turnitin that are supposed to, they have plagiarism checkers. And from a business perspective, they say, you know, we offer AI fact checking. And so you as a consumer, you're like, oh, okay, but the false positives on that are, Jason Beach is the one who spoke on this yesterday. He said that it's, you know, it's 50-50, like, it's not really that accurate. So a lot of students they're afraid they're going to turn in their hard work and get accused of using AI. We're on the opposite side of the coin. The professor's afraid you're going to use AI. And so cheating is a pretty big one. Laziness is definitely a good one. I don't so much see it as like the death of creativity as much. That's a concern a lot of people have where they say like, oh, we don't need to hire a graphic artist or a writer or a laureate or a poet because now AI can do it. And I don't really find that to be very true.
But let me interrupt you for just a moment because there is a concern. I mean, our state governor has talked about the fact of using AI to steal, you know, creations of musicians and that sort of thing. Is that a legitimate concern?
It is. I saw there's a Johnny Cash impersonator that's an AI bot, and you can make him sing like Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus, and it sounds like a Johnny Cash song. It's indistinguishable how good it is. So it's odd that like somebody with no musical talent or even musical appreciation can just be sitting in the shower one day or, you know, driving in the car and think, hey, that'd be kind of fun. And then, you know, you have other people that take guitar lessons for 30 years and they're still barely making it. And so, there are definitely concerns there. The artistic element of it, I think we're eventually going to see a purist art environment and then a AI art environment where there's going to be like a line between and say like, I painted this with paints and acrylics and, you might even have entire museums that are just AI art. It's kind of crazy that you can become a musician in an afternoon with a few well-worded prompts.
And have Johnny Cash or Elvis sing the most way out there song that you could have ever imagined.
You can make an album.
There you go. Mac Lunn is our guest from Tennessee Tech. We continue. One of the concerns that's been expressed, you mentioned it as it relates to creativity, but there does seem to be a concern that it could take jobs away because mm-hmm. there are things, and I guess specifically I would think about data processing and those types of things that AI could do more efficiently. Is that a valid concern?
Tremendously so. We've all had coworkers that we thought, you know, like they're serving a purpose, but, you know, and AI just processes data sets, especially like if your job is to look through spreadsheets, analyze spreadsheets, you're never going to compete. In a lot of ways, I think that could be good to a degree so long as that person keeps their job, but gets to work on things that take more human input to do. From a programming perspective, there's a lot of code that can be written with AI now too. It's one of those things I'm not too concerned about it yet, but also who knows what is behind the big curtain. I think we're only, Jason Beach yesterday said that what we're seeing of AI's capabilities is a little drop of water, and the real capabilities that are accessible to people at, you know, Google are a broken open fire hydrant where it's spraying out everywhere. But they have to throttle it so that you don't have You know, just it's a lot of power to give people on the internet. The people on the internet aren't traditionally guided by morality.
And that's sometimes true. Well, and speaking of the idea of power, you know, anytime that we deal with these technology things, how can the power be used in the wrong way? You know, a lot of people accuse Microsoft of that. A lot of people accuse Google of that, that there's more to Alexis than just setting the timer to cook the macaroni and cheese or play your favorite song. Could AI be used in those ways?
Yes. And even with the little drip that we're getting right now, there's a lot of malicious players out there. You've heard that you can mimic someone's voice. So you're on the radio quite a bit. The database of your voice, not to give anybody ideas, but
please,
you could train an AI to speak with your cadence, with your tonality, even where you take breaks, or if not you, but if somebody said a lot or had tics like that, AI can learn that and mimic it pretty indistinguishably. And I've heard a lot of cases where people, their elderly parents are getting phone calls that say, "Mom, help, I got arrested. I need you to wire X number of dollars to this account. Help, help, I need out." And, you know, they're kids at the movies. You know, they're not really in any danger whatsoever. It's a new scamming technique. Disgusting. It's really terrible. You could use it. I mean, you could ruin someone's reputation. You could put them in any type of video that you wanted to. Possibilities there are endless. You could, if you train it with their voice and their face, you can do the same thing with people's faces.
So, Mac Lund, you spend every day with technology. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you see things that you're like, okay, this is not all that. As we wrap up our conversation on artificial intelligence, where do you come down on AI?
Oh, I'm blown away. I use it as sort of almost like a assistant a lot of the time, where if you have a project ahead of you, you're going to bounce that idea off your friends. You're going to talk with people that you trust and say, like, what do you think about this? And I still do that, and I always will, but now a lot of times I have a ChatGPT window up all the time, and I'll say, what do you think about this? And it'll say, oh, that's great. Have you thought about this? And it'll give me extra ideas. Time and time again, it's given me stuff I haven't thought about. And in a way, it even kind of understands our humor now. So it knows that I like to make things fun. It will give me ideas to make things funnier in presentations and things like that. It's pretty mind-blowing for me. I'm excited to see where it goes. I hope we can be trusted with it.
Yeah, that's a big if. Mac Lund, Tennessee Tech, thank you for educating us about AI.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.